Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Danker. It's time now for the bigger picture. On the back of a two-day meeting, the U.S. Federal Reserve has held its benchmark interest rate near zero, said the economy continues to progress despite concerns over the coronavirus pandemic spread. So we see interest rates in the target range between zero and 0.25. They've also said that the economy continues to strengthen. At the press conference that followed the announcement, Chairman Jerome Powell answered questions about rate hikes tapering sooner rather than later. What does the roadmap look like? Could we see something in Jackson Hole or perhaps in September? Well, here's what he had to say.
So made any decisions about the timing, and I did not. If I said we're looking at one, a couple more months of data, I'm not meaning to suggest anything about a particular time at which we might taper, because we really have not made that decision. All I'm saying is that we're not at substantial further progress. There's a range of views on what timing will be appropriate, and those views ultimately track back to people's views about the economy and what will happen as we make progress towards our goal. So that's really what it is. And we will, of course, as we we're going to continue to try to provide clarity as appropriate. On timing, pace, and composition. But today I've given you what I can give you, because, again, this was the first, really, I would say, deep dive on the issues of timing, pace, and composition. And it was a good meeting, but no decisions are made, and I'm just not in a position to give you much guidance, really, any guidance on the actual timing.
We're going to try and make sense of the announcement this morning. On the line helping me out is Shane Oliver, Head of Investment Strategy and Chief Economist, AMP Capital. Shane, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Happy you are too.
Very good, sir. And at the previous meeting, it was talking about tapering. Now, Fed Chair Jerome Powell is saying they are having a proper conversation. More data seems to be needed. Could we see something by Jackson Hole in terms of a roadmap, or is September a more of a live event in terms of the narrative behind tapering? What are your thoughts on this?
To be honest with you, I think Jackson Hole being in August is probably a bit too early. The key message from Jerome Powell was that the U.S. economy is making progress towards their goals in terms of maximum employment and price stability, but there's still a ways to go yet before he can say that it's the substantial further progress that he's looking for. And I don't think they'll get enough information to change that assessment by the time of the Jackson Hole meeting. September is possible, but I think the more likely timing for a formal announcement is probably November or December. So they probably want to wait until they get more evidence in terms of the damage that may be done by the Delta variant in the U.S. economy. And they probably want to see more evidence of improvement in the U.S. labor market. They probably want to see what happens when the extended unemployment benefits come to an end in September. So that sort of takes us a few months later in the year, out towards November, December. So that's, I think, the most likely timing for a formal announcement. And then, of course, between now and then, we'll have ongoing taper talks, and that's what they'll say, a bit like they did last night. But the actual taper probably won't start till early next year.
Okay. Yeah, it's all in the language. Shane, what are your thoughts on analysts and officials arguing that the Fed should reduce their MBS purchases at a faster pace than treasuries and all that because of the housing market and obviously the inflation that follows or that we are seeing? That is expected to sort of level out, according to Jay Powell. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't have a strong view. I kind of think the overall decision is how much money they're pumping into the U.S. economy in any given month. The mix of whether they buy MBS or government bonds doesn't really change that. It just changes the details to some degree. Mm-hmm. I guess you can lean towards the picture that, well, housing has been booming, therefore they should wind back the MBS purchases more. But I don't know that it would actually change the housing market much if they do that, because the key driver of the housing market is interest rates, and the key driver of the long-term mortgage rate in the US is the government bond yields, and that's heavily influenced by buying of traditional treasury securities as opposed to mortgage-backed securities. So to be honest with you, I'm neutral on that one. I think the key is when they start to wind down and how much they wind down, not so much the details of whether it's MBS or treasury securities.
I am looking at economists' forecasts, seems to be revising down their projections to around 6.6% given the pandemic situation and the fact that peak growth has probably already been met. But the Fed's plan for a pullback on support shows hopes for things to return to normal in that sense. Plus, the constant reminders that the inflation that we're seeing is transitory and things will sort of level out. Your thoughts on this?
The inflationary picture is a complicated one.
Yeah.
We have seen a massive rise in raw material prices globally, commodities being at the centre of that. The pandemic has played a big role in this surge, investment in infrastructure and so on, and people's desire for goods. The pandemic switched away from services. And, of course, we've then had the reopening. So I think it's understandable that the Fed still tends to see the pickup in inflation as more transitory than permanent, and I tend to lean towards that view as well. It is notable that we've seen producer price inflation surge to around 8 or 9% in many parts of the world, China, Europe, Japan, there in the US as well. But the US and perhaps the UK seem to be the only ones that have seen a big surge in consumer price inflation as well. In other words, a lot hasn't been passed on to consumers, highlighting that other parts of the world are in different shape. In terms of the peak growth story, I think we probably have passed peak growth in the US, or it may be this quarter. Sorry, the results for the June quarter that are about to come out, I think, tonight in the US. So we may have seen peak growth, but historically what really matters for share markets is peak earnings. Yes, we see this surge in economic growth, surge in earnings growth coming out of a downturn, and then things slow down a bit. That can sometimes cause wobbles in share markets, but it's the peak in the level of earnings that ultimately counts. And I think the peak in the level of earnings is still several years away before we get to that point, and that requires much tighter budgetary policy for that peak to occur, absent, of course, another massive deterioration in the coronavirus pandemic. So I think investors should be not focused on peak growth. They should be focused on peak earnings.
Peak earnings. All right. We've been speaking with Shane Oliver, Head of Investment Strategy and Chief Economist at AMP Capital. Shane, appreciate your thoughts this morning. Take care and stay safe.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on the program, and I hope you stay safe too.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.